Okay, we ready to go?
I don't know. But
let's
we'll
just
go anyway.
Let's just go. Welcome to the first episode of Butte County Library's podcast, Library-ish. So this is a podcast about libraries, librarianship, and it's all within the context of culture and community. I'm Tracy. I'm a librarian here. I do adult services and outreach.
I'm January. I'm a librarian assistant. So I'm not quite a librarian, but I do work in a library. So
you're about as close to a librarian as a person.
I'm this close. So when people come into the library and like, are you a librarian? I'm always like, you know, I work here, so I can kind of help you, but I'm not technically a librarian. I don't have the master's degree yet,
yes.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
It's hard.
Fingers crossed.
You're going to do it.
So I also work at the library.
And she does a lot of children's services.
Yes. What do I do at the library? Yeah. I do children's services. I do a part of the story times. If you ever come into Chico Library, you'll see me singing with the babies. And that's a lot of fun.
As I said, today is our first episode of this podcast. And we're digging right in. We're not leaving it lying on the floor. Our first topic is going to be the five reasons why people say public libraries shouldn't exist. Yeah, we're going there.
Get ready.
It's probably going to come as no surprise to you. There will be some biased opinions in this podcast.
Really?
We're just a little biased. You know, we both love libraries. Obviously, we love our jobs. That's why we do them. And we're lucky to be able to love our jobs.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not just about job security for us or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's much deeper than just superficial or just loving even our jobs. Mm-hmm. Libraries are really important to the community. Libraries make a very important contribution. So we want to address those five questions that a lot of people bring up, those five reasons, and we're going to sort of take them down one by one. That's basically what we're going to do.
All right, let's get started. Let's chip it away.
So the first one is that the digital age supersedes libraries. It's the digital age. Libraries are over. The rise of the internet, digital resources. People are arguing that libraries are obsolete and that people, since you can access your information from anywhere with phones,
you can just Google it.
You can just Google it. That who needs a library?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? There are a few problems with that, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. So if you look at libraries in a traditional sense, mm-hmm. before the invent of Google, so back when we rode dinosaurs to school, everybody. For those of us that remember, you know, millennials, Gen X, boomers, you'll all understand.
Yeah.
Libraries were the traditional place that you would go when you had a question. Mm-hmm. You would go into the reference librarian, and you would say, hey, you know what? I need to know the capital of Uzbekistan. You know, which mm-hmm. book can I do that? I need to know the details of World War II. Can you show me which book does that? And since the invent of Google, people just kind of Google these questions and they get answers. Mm-hmm. The problem being, well, one of the problems being is that Google is an information glut. It's gluttony of information. You get everything.
Sure,
so you're in your house and you're sitting and you're relaxing and your pipes explode, which is always fun. And so you go to Google. Yeah, you go to the answer of all problems mm-hmm. other than 42. Mm-hmm. You go to Google and you say, hey, how do I fix my pipes?
Right.
And Google's like, well, hey, here's a few DIY videos right. on how to fix your pipes.
Right.
Hey, here's a few plumbers that are located around you that could fix your pipes for you.
Right.
Hey, here's a few hardware stores that you could buy new pipes at. Hey, here's some adult videos that make you think of pipes in a whole new manner. there's a lot, and you have to comb through it. This is just one example, mind you. Not everything has to do with pipes. But if you were to go to the library and say, you know, type in, you know, how do I fix my pipes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the librarian will be like, well, hey, let me help you person mm-hmm. to person. And, you know, they can make, you know, honest assumptions and decisions. And she'll show you where the books are to do these things.
It's actually called a reference interview.
It
means when you go see a librarian,
mm-hmm.
they ask you clarifying questions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you about what exactly you need, narrow it down.
An actual person.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, too, when you're talking about the information that's available in a library, mm-hmm. you're talking about information that's vetted. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a trusted resource. So it's not like, especially now that Google has started collecting information and providing results that are generated by AI, mm-hmm. they've also included things like Reddit forums in mm-hmm. that aggregation of information, meaning that you're getting Reddit information.
You're getting a
which
lot,
which is essentially
yeah.
like the percentage of trolls on Reddit giving people advice about how to do things is probably way over 50% of the comments that get made on any post that's on Reddit. So, mm-hmm. you know, now it used to be Google was, you take it, you leave it, grain of salt, million results, mm-hmm. how do you parse it out? Now it's those top results that you're getting, maybe absolutely not only incorrect, mm-hmm. but like beyond woefully incorrect and maybe even dangerous. Mm-hmm. You really, Google is not the resource that it was even at the beginning of this year. So yeah. going to a library and knowing that the information you're getting is vetted, knowing that the person is going to help you find specific information, mm-hmm. so you don't have to weed through a million concepts to get to the information that's relevant to you, mm-hmm. that's a time saver. It's huge. So sure, Google's available. Sure, you can grab it on your phone, but is the information worth it?
Well, yeah.
And that's something people have to consider when they're doing.
And for a lot of instances, you know, when you have a specific problem or you have a specific question, mm-hmm. you know, to talk to a computer is hard. It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And especially for people who didn't mm-hmm. grow up with the internet. The internet was just a new thing. I'm aging myself a little. Please don't pay attention to this part. it was a brand new thing when I was a kid, when I was in school. We had mm-hmm. those big Mac computers, you know, that we basically yeah. played Oregon Trail on, you
I
know?
Mean, I'm an Xer. I was a grown, full-grown adult by the time computers and
oh
everything.
Gosh. I remember the first yeah. iPhone. I remember the very first iPhone.
You remember the first iPhone.
I do.
I remember the first personal calculators.
Oh, gosh.
I remember the first digital watches.
Oh, okay? Gosh.
So let's, you know, go back. Mm-hmm. But that is an issue when mm-hmm. you talk about access. You know, there's access to the access of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Which so is one just, issue in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the other, like, sort of, there are sort of four prongs to the problem. You've got the Google issue, mm-hmm. then you've got the access problem, mm-hmm. which is just like, do you have broadband? Do you have a laptop?
Oh
my
gosh.
Do you have an iPad?
I know.
And then there's the digital literacy problem. If you have an iPad, mm-hmm. if we gave everybody in the country an iPad, mm-hmm. because this Googling is so accessible, mm-hmm. who's going to teach everybody how to use that iPad?
Oh, but it's so
which
easy.
Which is what we do here.
It's user friendly.
Not everybody has a 10-year-old accessible that can teach them how to use
it. I know. See, I'm lucky. I've got kids at home.
10-year-olds that all know how to use.
I've got kids at home that when I'm like, I don't know how to use this thing. Mom, oh my gosh, here, let me show you. You're so cringe, you know, and they can show me how to do it, but not everybody has that, you right. know, and it's hard. And as a library, not only do you get to talk to someone about mm-hmm. your frustrations and you get to point out, look, I understand Googling is easy, but I can't mm-hmm. figure out how to do this. We have programs that can help. We have yep. people, non-judgmental, very, very mm-hmm. nice people that can help. And they're
it's
authentically nice.
Yeah,
it is their job and they do get paid for it, but we pick them good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we have very, very well-informed and very nice mm-hmm. people that just want to help. That's
well,
the only
let's
reason
not
they work
underestimate
here.
Like the value of expertise. That's Indeed. The thing is mm-hmm. like, you know, you can ask anybody on the street about any information you want. You'll get an answer. Mm-hmm. The value of that answer is dubious. The idea that we're like trained professionals, mm-hmm. this is what we do, and we do it every day. Mm-hmm. You know that you're getting something that is going to have value. When mm-hmm. you get it. But there is also that the public Wi-Fi that we have at libraries that's giving people access to Google. Mm-hmm. Because if Google's there and you can't access it, what difference does it make?
Oh my gosh.
So the yeah. iPads. You got an iPad and you can't use it. What difference does it make? Libraries teach people how to do that.
Do you know how many people
that
I
digital divide.
Seriously, how many people I have coming in and putting the iPad in front of me mm-hmm. and saying, I don't know how to use this thing.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Yeah.
Because if you are one of the generations that, you know, grew up riding a dinosaur to school, yep. this stuff is, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't. I had a Stegosaurus. It was amazing.
Oh, look at you. Uh-huh. You really ride and
Well, I wasn't
there.
One of the cool kids with the T-Rex, you know, yeah, so it's okay.
The vehicle that will eat you as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed. It gets you right through traffic. Hot knife through yeah. butter. No worries.
Well, you know, there's another issue, too, that doesn't often get discussed with this, and that's the paywall problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at things like really valued resources out there, like the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
Wall Street Journal, things like that, up to the minute news, you can Google that information and you can click on that link. And some of these resources will give you a few articles a month that you can access for free. But then the paywall goes up, meaning you have
lucky.
To pay. Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
It depends on what model they're operating
mm-hmm.
on. But you're only going to be able to access some information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if it's publicly, like broadly important information, like about a natural disaster or something, they may go ahead and not count that against your little quota that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, your access to that is limited, and then you're cut off, and you have to pay a monthly subscription for
mm-hmm.
that to have access whenever you want. The thing about a library is that we use our money to get those subscriptions
mm-hmm.
so that the community at large can access that information for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the other important services I don't think gets mentioned often enough, is that because we're able to supersede those paywalls
mm-hmm.
by having subscriptions to those services, that is another pathway to access for the public that they wouldn't otherwise have, regardless of whether there's a digital world out
mm-hmm.
there that makes information globally available. Just because it's available
yeah.
doesn't mean it's available to those individuals or to the community.
The challenge is the connecting. The
yeah.
challenge is the connecting and then the knowledge of how to use it. So yeah. like say broadband, oh my goodness, broadband on average, I'm spitballing here, is about $50 a month. So if you don't have broadband at home, because I don't know, you're one of the 40% of the United States that's either under the poverty line or sitting
mm-hmm.
right on top of it,
yeah.
Say you can't afford that bill. You know, library has free Wi-Fi. And in addition to that, library has free hotspots that you can check out and take home.
Yeah.
Library has iPads that you can learn how to do this. Library has a team of people that you can make an appointment with to teach you how
yeah.
to use said hotspot
exactly.
and said iPad. It's so much more complex than just Google it.
100%. 100%. Well, I think we have put the coffin nail in that argument. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the next argument number two, is about cost effectiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, libraries require significant amounts of public funding. They need upkeep. They need staffing. They need collections. And some people believe these resources could be better allocated as elsewhere, especially in the current digital age. Now, what do we think about that argument? I will say this, people don't understand library funding. So libraries are funded on sort of a three-prong basis. Libraries get grants, and these are things that must be applied for. They're special funds, and they're earmarked. So they can only be used for the specific thing that they're funding. There are deadlines
only
involved.
That
yeah.
one.
Yeah, it's only that. Like,
mm-hmm.
for an example, our mobile library. All of that, including the collection that's on the mobile library, the mobile library itself,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing, that was grant funded. That was, county funds weren't used to fund that. The other things that fund the libraries, it's county funds, state funds, federal funds. The state and federal funds are kind of together because much of the federal funding goes
mm-hmm.
to the state library, and the state library allocates that out. And then there's the county funds, the county budget, which for us is out of like the general fund
mm-hmm.
of the county. I think that it's really important to recognize that when you're using tax dollars to fund something, that's money that's an investment in the community. You spend that dollar, you're getting so much money back in returns in terms of services, in terms of accessibility,
mm-hmm.
in terms of programming and things for kids to do. That and this is what you call social ROI.
Mm-hmm.
It's hugely important.
See, here's the thing about that, because people don't understand that, because a lot of them don't understand that the library is more than books. The library is more than, I've got a problem, I need to research it, I'm going to the library, I'm going to Google it, whatever. It's more than that. I remember when, because I wasn't always a library person. Like, I didn't grow up in the library. I didn't grow up with the books. I didn't grow up smelling the fiction, you know. At no point in time was that me. And then as I grew, you know, I read, and but I had, you know, I had to go out and I'd buy my books. And the library just didn't occur to me as a place to go until I had kids. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to read to my kids. Books is expensive, yo. So I came to the library for the kid books, because you go through, oh my gosh, so many books.
Yeah.
Experts say that for your child to have the vocabulary to be successful in school by kindergarten, they need to read, and this is experts, this is not me, 1,000, that's the number, 1,000 books before they hit kindergarten for them to have an efficient vocabulary to be successful.
We actually have a program for that.
Yes, 1,000 books before. Let me go ahead and talk about this. 1,000 books before kindergarten. We'll give you little tracking sheets and you get a free book at the end. It's a lot of fun. But that's actual scientific research that they need to be exposed to that many books to develop that vocabulary. And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you were going to go to Barnes and Noble, each book is about, oh, I don't know, 15 to 20 bucks, you know, and you have to go through so many. So I take them to the library and I go to the kids section. We get books, and I was here in the Paradise Library. And, because this is my one, I love it here. And,
that's where we're at today.
Yes. It's beautiful. And I, went to the kids section and I'm looking for books, and the librarian came over and said, "Hey, it's almost summer reading. Let me get you guys signed up." And I said, "Oh no, 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 thank you. I can't, we're not going to do that." And she's like, "Why not?" I'm like, "Well, I don't want to, you know, how much does it cost?" And she's like, "It's free." And I said, "It's what?" And she said, "It's free. Oh, here, take a swag bag." And she had this adorable bag with stuff in it. Like, it had bookmarks, it had pencils, it had a tracking sheet, it had stickers, it had, you know, just fun stuff in it. And she gave each, I have three kids, she gave each of my children a swag bag. And she's like, "Okay, you're all signed up." And I'm like, "Well, how much do you want for the stuff?" She's like, "It's free. It's free. It's free. Oh, and by the way, we've got an art project in the meeting room. If your kids want to come and do it." "Is it free?" She's like, "Yes, it's free. Come on." We came in here, they had little owls and they're all painting it with celery sticks to give that little curve. And it was a lot of fun, and it was 100% free. And people don't see that side of it, that programming side. You can come to, I do in Chico Afternoon Creation Station, and here in Paradise, I do Crafternoon. And these are after school programs. I provide all the stuff. I provide the activity. You provide the kids for free,
right?
You know, and it's a good time. You can leave a mess and I don't care. It's my job to clean it up. I get paid to clean it up. It's zero issues for me.
Right.
And you get to have that fun experience with the kids for free. People just don't see that. They see the books.
They sure don't. They sure don't. And they see the space we take up.
Eventually. Yes.
But, you know, that's the thing about an anchor institution, which is what libraries are becoming more considered to be anchor institutions. Those are institutions that essentially are in a community for a long period of time, provide services that give the communities value. Often in the beginning, when this whole concept was first sort of given value during the social revolution of the late 60s, people were looking at universities, they were looking at hospitals, they were determining that, and it was being recognized that places that had these facilities had more stability within the community. And it's being noted that libraries also provide this function. And a lot of companies that invest in communities look for these sort of anchor institutions. They look for universities, they look for hospitals, they look for libraries. So if you're looking for companies to bring capital to a community, having libraries is incredibly important.
Very
it's one
much
of the
so.
Things on their list that they look for. And it's because of the value that libraries provide, for sure. You know, if you're if for every dollar you're spending, you're getting between $2 and $10 back.
Right.
You know, that's something that, you know, and it means that also that the political structure that is within that community cares about the community. It's important.
But you'll only get it back if you utilize it. I was talking to my sister not too long ago. Yeah, you pay your taxes. I pay my taxes. You pay your taxes. We all pay our taxes. And the library is funded partially with tax money. Well, if you want to get your return from what you pay, you need to utilize it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. You get back what you use. You know,
if you're
like, "No, I'm going to Barnes & Noble and I'm going to buy all my books and I have my Kindle at home and my Kindle Unlimited is all that I need," you're not getting your return. return.
No, you're not.
With your taxes, not at all, you know? Right. And if you actually look at the library and say, what does it have to offer me? What can right. I use? We have eBooks that you can check yeah. out for free. That's you make using your tax money yeah. that you've put into the library.
Absolutely.
Use the eBooks, you know, instead of your Kindle Unlimited. You use it, then you'll understand the return of it. If you choose mm-hmm. not to use it, then you won't.
And that's the perfect transition into mm-hmm. the third thing, which is the decline of physical book use.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned eBooks right there. You did.
I
Look
did.
At you
I'm so
making
smart.
Transitions. So basically, this particular argument is that the popularity of eBooks, audiobooks, and other digital formats has led to the decrease in physical book borrowing, leading some to question the need for physical libraries. First of all, ebooks have not had the negative impact on brick and mortar bookstores
mm-hmm.
or on libraries that people had expected. Also, libraries provide a lot of digital books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for people to get hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't giving, you know, money to a subscription service.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, the fact is, you buy from a subscription service or you buy from Amazon an ebook,
mm-hmm.
you don't own the book.
Nope, not in the least bit.
No. So they can remove that from your catalog.
They've done that to
library.
Me before.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can do it at any time. So it's not like you actually own the ebook.
No,
you're buying
yeah.
from
I remember
Amazon.
It was a very, very small title I bought from Amazon and I bought it. I bought this ebook
mm-hmm.
and they refunded my money. They refunded the purchase, but they took it back because of a copyright issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the book anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had the, I mean, it's not like they stole my money. I had
right.
the refund for it. So, I mean, I couldn't cry, but I still cried.
Well, of course.
That was my book.
Because you want the
yeah.
book. No, it's terrible. And I think, you know, it comes back to accessibility again. You know, seniors, people that are housebound, ebooks are a really important resource
mm-hmm.
for them. And sure, they could get them through Amazon, but not everybody is financially able to invest in a book every time. Meanwhile, libraries are able to provide ebooks to
mm-hmm.
broad, you know, groups of people to the entire
oh,
community, you know, and it's easier for them. If you're housebound, all you need is that ebook and you could get it through the library.
So here's a dark story coming.
Oh, there, here we go.
I'm so sorry. Here's a dark story.
No, that's
up here in Paradise. And those listeners that have grown up here and went
mm-hmm.
through the campfire, you're going to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
My house burnt in the campfire. And it was unfortunate. And I had that because I had books. I had a library of books. And like I told you, I went to Barnes & Noble. I bought my books. I had a beautiful library that I would peruse, you know, and I'd be like, I've read you. You're next, you know. And for way too long, I stood in front of that. And I'm like, I can't evacuate with books. I can't evacuate. It's stupid.
It's gotta be
I cannot grab these books. Mommy, we have to go. I cannot grab these books. I ended up grabbing about five. Because that seemed like the smallest amount that I could
yeah.
quickly grab and leave. Because
yeah.
as we all know, the campfire came in, it destroyed, it rolled out. So now I've got a Kindle. And
mm-hmm.
because a Kindle is easier to grab
yeah.
and run with, and I've got my library on there, and I don't have to worry about, but I still love my books. I
right.
still prefer the pages, but I've always got that thought in the back of my head, these could burn.
Yeah.
Especially after the Thompson fire, especially after the Park fire,
oh,
especially
yeah.
after
I
the
mean,
Dixie, the Northern Complex.
Especially being here, like that is a legitimate consideration.
Oh my gosh. The top
sure.
10 most deadly fires of the United States of California history in Butte County is in like four of them, I think. Gosh,
mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure on the exact number of that.
Yeah.
But we've got a good chunk
yeah.
of the fires. And so I've always got that thought in the back of my head that my books could burn me.
Right.
So there is a need for ebooks, but it doesn't put the actual books out of commission.
Right.
Because I do prefer my books, as many readers out there do. I love the pages.
Well,
I love the feel.
We
I love the ambiance of a rainy day,
yeah.
if we'd ever get one, of sitting with my blanket curled up nice with the fog outside, maybe a little
mm-hmm.
snow. I am up here in Paradise.
Absolutely. No,
you
I
know?
Love it too. And I'm one of those people that like, I get comfortable with a book.
Mm-hmm.
I dog ear the pages. I'll break the spine.
Heresy.
I'll write in them. I'm not one of those people that's precious about a book.
Not my library books.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, library books belong to the community. They don't belong to me. You respect that.
True.
You know, one should respect the books that belong to
respect
the community.
Respect my books.
But I'm like, I when it's my book, mm-hmm. it's my book. I'm going to do what I want.
This is true.
It, you know?
This is true. I will look at your books and I'll say, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. I feel for you.
Exactly. I know, but it's well loved.
It's
well
loved. It's only a nice way to say it's been broken.
Well, or broken or broken in.
Oh, touche.
So there are also some obstacles to this whole physical book use thing that mm-hmm. I just want to note, because, you know, there's the accessibility issue, but there's more than that. There's the learning curve to using the devices.
Very like much Kindle, so.
Which we talked mm-hmm. about before. There's the cost of these ebooks, mm-hmm. which has been mentioned. You don't own them. And the commercial vendors, you know, that's all just to summarize. Commercial vendors can take them at absolutely mm-hmm. any time. But there's also another point to libraries. We offer other things besides just the ebooks. Mm-hmm. We offer things like our first sponsor. We offer things like our first sponsor, Butte County Library's new Library of Things. Yes. Welcome to the Library of Things. Have you ever needed a tool for a weekend project?
Maybe to fix your pipes.
Maybe to fix your pipes. Have you needed a karaoke machine for a family night or even a comfortable camping chair for a weekend getaway? Well, Butte County Library has you covered. Last week, we launched our Library of Things program. It's exclusively, It's exclusively available at the Oroville branch, and patrons that are 18 and over and have accounts in good standing, this is very important, can borrow all sorts of items, everything from gardening tools, kitchen gadgets, camping gear, so much more is available.
Oh my gosh, there's so much.
It's amazing, right? It's
just
amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what the best part is about it, though? Hmm. You know what the best part is?
Tell me.
It's absolutely free.
You don't say. Something at the library is free.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
You know what? All you need is a Butte County Library card.
How much does that cost?
It's what's free. Check out the website. There's a few ins and outs that go along with the Library of Things program. It's all outlined on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, you know, accessible.
You won't regret it.
No, you won't. Mm-hmm. You won't. All right. So we're going to head into the next point. This is space utilization is the next argument that's made. Some people argue that the physical space occupied by libraries could be repurposed for some more modern uses, such as community centers or tech hubs, or could be purchased by commercial enterprises. I just want to hop in like straight up off the top.
Both feet.
When I was doing some research for this, what I found, I looked at San Francisco to see how much of, what sort of is going on with commercial space there. Turns out 34% of commercial space is unoccupied in San Francisco, one of the most expensive cities, but one of the most populated cities, certainly in California. Uh-huh. So it's something like 30 million square feet of space unoccupied. So in a place like that, that's a high demand place, what do people think an unoccupied library would be used for?
This is a good question. Well, they said a couple of examples was a community center. Mm-hmm. We are kind of already that.
Well, that's the thing is we're already serving that function. Mm-hmm. So
tech hub, we have computers as well as iPads. And
yeah,
I mentioned a Kindle earlier. You can check that. You know,
exactly.
You can check all these out. We already have all these things. You're just annoyed. I'm sorry.
inside voice came.
You're just annoyed because the money that you put in, you don't see coming out. And as mm-hmm. I've said before, the only reason you're not seeing it is because you don't use it.
That's it.
You might want to edit that.
Or not. We'll see. I mean, the thing of it is that people think there's this whole concept that private enterprise can replace what happens in a library, which is actually the final argument, is that the libraries not only should be privatized, but that commercial alternatives to libraries are sufficient. That just get something from Amazon, get something from Barnes & Noble. But the fact is, the value that you get with the library of having the books, we're not warehousing books. We're making information available to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the community puts in terms of investment is what we're able to put out.
Right.
If we have sufficient support,
mm-hmm.
we're able to produce programming that's accessible to
you
people.
Reap what you sow.
Absolutely.
Like legitimately, it's and planting, you know, if you don't water your plant, you don't attend to it, you put it in a sad little pot and put it in the corner of the room where it's not going to get any water, you know what? That plant's going to shrivel and die.
Absolutely.
Facts. Put more into it.
That's all you
talk
have to
your congressman, talk to your speaker, talk to your the people that are in charge.
Absolutely.
Talk to them. Make yourself a squeaky wheel to put more into the library.
Absolutely.
So you can get more out of the library.
But most importantly, come and visit the library.
Oh my gosh, yes. We love you.
Yeah.
Come and visit.
Because we love the community. We love having you here. We love it when our libraries are busy. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
But we also want people in here to be able to understand what we do, to see everything that we have to offer, that people use us. This is what we're here for. This is what your tax dollars pay
for. Get your money's worth.
And we're so happy to have you in when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our call to action to you all is if you think, if you've had any of these thoughts, if you've had any of these arguments made to you, come into the library. Suggest people come into the library, visit us, take a look, take advantage of one of our programs, check out some books, it's get a library card. You know, this is what we're here for. We invite you to come in and say hi and meet us and participate.
We need that big table with a sign that says libraries are important, change our minds.
That's right. That's right. We're also going to have that Batman meme. It's going to go right about here. Yes, exactly. Because, you know, come to our libraries. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we've about decimated all of these
That's a
arguments.
Lovely term. That's
yeah.
great.
If you know what, here's the thing. Go ahead. I believe I will put the information about contacting us here. Give us a contact. Tell
it's
us, do you feel there's any arguments we missed about what makes libraries important? Do you have a different argument that you'd like to see us address in terms of why libraries shouldn't exist? Maybe you have a different thing to say that
Bring
we haven't talked
your
about.
Questions.
Yeah, so send it to us. All the information will be on this card, and we hope to hear from you. And mostly, we hope to really see you at the library and use the Library of Things.
It is so amazing. Please use it. Utilize the programs that your tax dollars pay for.
Absolutely, 100%. So this has been fun. Thank you so much, January.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we will see you on the next episode of Library-ish. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye. Bye.